Phone the comment line 1850 715 900.
Protesters have taken to the streets in dozens of American cities overnight to voice their disquiet over the grand jury decision not to indict Officer Darren Wilson, who shot black teenager Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri last August. Officer Wilson spoke to ABC News last night. Here's a fragment of that interview.
Is there anything you could have done differently that would have prevented that killing from taking place?
No.
Nothing?
No.
And you're absolutely convinced, when you look through your heart and your mind, that if Michael Brown were white, this would have gone down in exactly the same way?
Yes.
No question?
No question.
You and your wife, I don't even know if this word is appropriate anymore. What is your dream going forward?
Like I said, we just want to have a normal life. That's it.
I guess it's hard to have a normal life after someone is lying dead.
Mm-hmm.
Something you think that will always haunt you?
I don't think it's a haunting. It's always going to be something that happened.
You have a very clean conscience.
The reason I have a clean conscience is because I know I did my job right.
And that was Darren Wilson speaking to ABC interviewer George Stephanopoulos overnight. Now, it was another difficult night in Ferguson. Here's an extract from a press conference from the St. Louis Police Chief John Belmar and Ron Johnson, also from the Missouri State Highway Patrol.
We were able to seize a Molotov cocktail in the area of Church Street in front of the City Hall near the police car. There was an arrest made regarding that. We also seized earlier in the evening a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. Obviously, when we have peaceful protesters and they have the ability, even at times, to occupy the street, that's okay. However, what we noticed this evening was, and we have an array of things on the tailgate, rocks, bottles, a socket extension, looks like broken tent poles that were hurled at the officers, pieces of asphalt, small bottles filled with probably something you could drink, perhaps water or Gatorade, other small bottles filled with what appears to be urine. So those are all things that we're trying to obviously protect the guardsmen and the police officers from as they try to do their job. We made 44 arrests this evening. The majority of those arrests were misdemeanors. Most of those were either fair to obey a lawful order or fair to disperse. We did make 4 felony arrests, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think Captain Johnson or myself or any commander here really envisioned how bad last night was. I think that was a scale that fortunately is seldom seen here in this country.
And that was St. Louis Police Chief John Belmar, and before him, Ron Johnson of the State Highway Patrol. On the line now, Terence McCoy, reporter with the Washington Post. Terence, the protests over the grand jury's decision seem to have spread right across the United States.
That's correct. The protests have spread across the United States. While they have diminished and dimmed in Ferguson, the police chief, or the St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar, said, "I think generally it was a much better night than the night before, when a number of cop cars were burned and businesses were razed." Last night, it did seem like things were a little bit gentler. There was a Molotov cocktail that was found, but outside of that, it was much quieter. In the meantime, the rage did seem to spread to other large American cities. Notably was Los Angeles, when traffic just snarled a lot of streets, and people were out in the streets protesting in Manhattan. Protesters moved through Times Square with their hands up, a silent rally cry for Michael Brown, the teenager who obviously was shot 3.5 months ago by Officer Darren Wilson.
Is there a sense that this is a protest that could grow and spread, or do you think it has peaked at this stage?
It is unclear right now what the answer to that is with these sort of these protests are extemporaneous as well as very combustible, and it's not known whether something tonight even or tomorrow night might spark something and bring back the rage that we saw last night. With that said, it does seem like it has hit its nexus, and there were signs that people were returning home. Keep in mind, it's pretty cold out there. And it's just 2 days away from Thanksgiving, which it's unclear if the protests will be able to survive that holiday break.
And Terence, a lot of the criticism or the protests seem to have been intensified by the performance or the presentation by the county prosecuting attorney, Bob McCullough. The way he handled the whole thing, that he, for instance, before revealing the grand jury's verdict, he spent 10 minutes hectoring Twitter for showing interest in the tragic death of young Brown. And also, he was seen as somebody who was essentially performing performing more like a defence counsel for the police than he should have been behaving as a prosecuting officer.
I would agree with that. He has suffered a lot of criticism because of his performance. McCullough, he did hector Twitter, and he also did target the news media for pouncing on any information that they could to report, as well as another target he had were the witnesses. He made a big deal out of the fact that the witnesses gave conflicting testimonies and just pretty much refuted one another. There's dozens of witnesses, and it seemed like they couldn't agree on anything for much of their testimony, and that was a major problem that they dealt with. And he did kind of dive into that for minutes on end, the problems and the difficulties that the investigation had. And a lot of critics have said that he seemed to blame everyone but themselves.
And what about the fact that several months ago, even African-American leaders called for a special prosecutor to replace McCullough on the Brown case? That obviously didn't happen. But can the issue be reopened at this stage, or is that it? Wilson's in the clear.
Wilson is not in the clear. That is one of the major problems right now that he is facing. He is in the clear on state charges. The grand jury did not choose to indict him, but he is still facing investigation on federal terms. Eric Holder, the attorney general, is investigating him for possibly violating Michael Brown's civil rights. That is a very difficult case to process and very difficult to bring charges on those allegations. He's also facing an internal investigation by the Ferguson Police Department. And there's also the threat of a civil lawsuit filed by the Brown family. Many people think that is very likely to happen.
And of course, the other person very much in the limelight and at the receiving end of, again, a lot of criticism, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, who is seen, I suppose, as somehow being taking something of a lofty, almost professorial approach to the whole situation.
He did seem to take some sort of professorial approach to it last night. It was very somnolent for a man who can give very passionate presentations and passionate speeches. That was not one of them last night. And he has suffered through some criticism today as someone who, it would seem that he would have given a very passionate plea or passionate cry for people to take back to their homes, but it wasn't that, and he has suffered some criticism because of it.
And why do you think he chose to take that approach? Is that just the way he is?
He is a very cerebral person. He's a cerebral president. It's unclear if that is the way he is, but it wasn't one of his better speeches, many people have said today. And it seemed as though he also suffered through something called the split screen dilemma. And the Washington Post, Justin Moyer, wrote about this last night when he spoke about how presidents have dealt with that problem before. When on the split screen, he's talking about how everyone needs to go back to their homes, but then you see on the other side of the screen, they're just protesters raising buildings and flames in the streets.
And what about the fact as well, Terry, that you get maybe outside of America's liberal urban enclaves, racial prejudice is still, it's fairly strong as a strain in society. The fact that, for instance, black people make up 14% of drug users, but yet 37% of those arrested for it are black people. You've got the fact that they continue to get a raw deal in schools, in prisons and on the streets. Now, is the whole question of race relations and the way black people are treated or non-white people are treated, is that likely to rise up the political agenda?
It is one of the most significant realizations to come out of all these protests was the puncturing of the pleasant fiction that the United States right now is in a post-racial society after the election of Barack Obama. That was a very big topic of conversation after 2008 when Barack Obama was elected, that we've now entered something called a post-racial society, but that has not been the case. And these protests have proven that there is a lot of tension. And it seems like it can come out to the fore at any moment.
Terence, thank you very much indeed for that update and analysis. That's Terence McCoy there, journalist with The Washington Post.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.